I also have a really low voice, so just raise your hand if you can't hear me. Anyway, Pavi asked me 2 weeks ago if I would come here, and I thought, yay. You know, I last saw Viral and Pavi about 2 days before Viral went into the hospital, and he looked like shit, you might say. I'm sorry to say that, but he was a different color. He was really a different color. But I told him today I wasn't so worried about him because he had to carry my wheelchair up the hill, up the stairs, and he did that gracefully. And I said to him, you know, I would have worried a lot about you if I'd known that you were having so much trouble. And he said, I went into the bathroom and I leaned over and I couldn't breathe. And I said, why didn't you tell me? Not that it would have made any difference at that point. But Viral is a different person today. So grateful. And I'm so grateful to all of you. But this is what Pavi asked me 2 nights ago.
So here's what Pavi said.
Uh-oh.
You know, and I've got to read her words because she is such a great writer, as you all know. This has been a challenging year for many different people in the ecosystem, and there is a deep aspiration to rise to those challenges with a heart that's ready to do the hard work of transformation. Can you share something with us in that respect? And then she also gave me the title for the talk, which was In the Line of Grace, Bowing in the Line of Grace. You also told me exactly what I should talk about. Thank you. And I love you so much. You're so, everybody here loves your words so much. You're really a beautiful writer. You're a beautiful thinker. You're a beautiful being. And I'm so grateful to be here because I get inspired. You know, Pavi asked me to try to inspire you. And I thought, I'm the wrong person to do this at this time. I don't have anything inspired to say. I want to come because I want to be inspired. I've been very inspired. You guys really know how to transform yourself. That's not a question you have to look to me to answer. We've heard that. You know, everybody's been talking about transformation. You're doing a really good job. You especially, my dear.
I want to do a mic drop now.
You're in this with me. So what do we do when we need inspiration? So I'm living in a senior facility, and I'm 20 years younger than the next youngest person there. So I asked everybody at breakfast today, what do you do when you need inspiration? You know, the average age at the table was 96. This was at 7 o'clock this morning. These are no slouches. So they thought very carefully. And they said, well, first of all, it's a waste of time not to be inspired. You know, we're still alive. Let's spend our time well. Then somebody said, sitting next to me, he's 97. He said, I think about the Niagara River, because he lives on the Niagara River when he was born. And he said, you know, finally we moved into a house that was just above falls. And I said, so you think about the falls? And he said, yes, that's what I think about. And another person said, she just put the movie Pollyanna in the DVD player. And I said, Jimmy, why Pollyanna? She said, well, I've loved her since I was 4, and she went through so much, and if she can do it, I can do it. I thought that was a really interesting answer. You know, somebody else had a very good talk about practice, but these were the old people. So I want to tell you my story of what I do when I'm really down in the dumps, which happens, of course, sometime. So with Naipoon, I had the good fortune of meeting His Holiness a couple of years ago on a couple of occasions. And for some strange reason, when I was in the hospital that year after the accident, I was asked to give the keynote address at the Unsung Heroes Award ceremony. And it was only because I was in a wheelchair at that point, so I couldn't really give out the scarf because I would have had to go down and meet everybody in the wheelchair. They couldn't figure out the logistics. So Isabel said to me, "You get the major address, and I will give out the scarf." Said, "You got a better deal than I did." You know, I couldn't piece two sentences together at that point in my life. I really couldn't keep two thoughts together. There was no way. But the speech therapist worked with me for a couple of months, and finally I pieced together 10 minutes talk. And then as we were, they had to discharge me from the hospital because I couldn't just go out to the Ritz-Carlton. No, I had to be discharged and readmitted the 4 hours I was out. So I went there, and I watched His Holiness walk up on the dais, and I thought, that guy is in respiratory failure. Oh, no. The Secret Service guy were all around him, aren't know what to do if he codes. I better think about this. I haven't had to be a doctor for at least 6 months. What do I do first? So I'm thinking about this, talking through all of the code blue scenarios. I should have been nervous about the speech I was going to have to give, but no, I was thinking about code blue scenario. I was hoping that he was going to survive. I was trying to figure out if I should ask him before I started coding. I thought, you don't ask His Holiness whether or not he wants to be coded. You just pump on his chest. So anyway, this was all what was going through my mind. This is my story. You know, this is how we make up stories. These are the fun stories. Terrifying stories. Anyway, so then as Holiness, I started to talk, and as my microphone was all off, so His Holiness came over and he said, "Stop, Grace. Just stop right now." He readjusted my microphone, and he started stroking my cheek. And he just stood beside me for all 10 minutes, stroking my cheek. And I thought, at the end of it, at the end of my speech, I said to him, "You know, you're the best reason that I've ever had to practice. You've been able to do phenomenal things in your life with such equanimity. Now you've touched my head because you're afraid that I'm going to fail, that I'm failing right now, that I'm somehow damaged goods. But I'm not. That's just the story you have. Just that, like, I had the story that you were going to die, that you were going to code blue." And we both started laughing hysterically. So it was really a fine moment. But the point is, as Buddhists, we talk about practicing, which means dropping below our story. Those were good stories. Those were love stories. You know, it's the bad stories we have to try to drop below and just be aware of. So that's what I try to do every moment of my life. Just pay attention to what stories I'm telling myself. How, and if I want to know the impact that I'm having in the world, I just ask my friends. They're all too happy to tell me just where I'm messing up. And you can always ask the sun and the star, "How am I doing with you, Earth?" Thank you.
I'll just say one thing about that. Grace very lovingly ignored everything I asked her to talk about in the talk. And it was perfect.